Welcome to Drunk to Who podcast. I'm John.
I'm Steve.
And Steve, what are we doing today?
We're recording
a podcast.
Yeah. About God, I haven't. You didn't let me do this. I think last time or the time before, and I'm like,
I got to keep it fresh, Steve.
We're on a Sunday in Chicago. We talk about Doctor Who. Uh-huh. We
drink about Doctor Who.
Oh, see, you screwed me up again. I don't even remember what it was.
We dance around by Doctor Who.
I've said this dozens of times, and I can't remember.
Well, this is kind of fun watching.
This is a podcast where we drink, we talk about, we drink, we watch Doctor Who, we drink, we talk about Doctor Who all while drinking. Is that it?
Yeah, fuck if I know.
Oh shit!
This is the podcast where, you know, we just kind of freestyle every now and then.
Yeah, sure.
Then today we're going to discuss an episode of Doctor Who.
Really?
It's called The God Plump. The God Complex.
If you can say it.
This is episode 91 of the Drunk to Who podcast.
Yes.
We're going to discuss series 6, episode 11, The God Complex.
Which I've never seen before, these episodes.
I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have not. Well, I don't know. People listening might not know that I've never seen Doctor Who before we started recording this podcast.
Well, if they're jumping in at this point, well, welcome, dear listener. I am John.
I'm Steve.
And this is the Drunk to Who podcast.
Podcast where we drink, we watch Doctor Who, we drink, we talk about Doctor Who all while drinking.
I gave you that one, handed on a platter. Steve, not remembering anything about the God Complex that you probably talked about the last episode.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I mentioned Daleks. I don't know.
What's the God Complex about?
Do you want to give me a time limit or anything? Just do it as quick as I can?
Okay.
Okay. So the God Complex is about the Doctor landing on a planet in some year that has to with the numbers loosely tied to baseball. And
oh god, oh baseball!
I know how much you like it. So the Doctor lands, and it's he miscalculates. It's like he doesn't like to do research before he lands on a place. And this planet had been wiped out by a plague millions of years earlier. So there's a new life form that the Doctor doesn't even know about that has formed. And the Doctor lands, and they see the Doctor and the TARDIS as a god. And so the Doctor starts, like, believing his own shit. Being like
Time Lord Victorious,
he kind of gets a little bit of an ego, and Rory's like, "No, you're not a god. You started a religion, and it was on accident." And all of a sudden, I want to bring Daleks into it because we haven't seen them yet, but I don't think I should. And then Amy is the Doctor trips, falls, and he's bleeding, and that's how they realize he's an actual mortal. And then they worship Amy, and she's like, "Fuck this, and we're out of here."
So Amy didn't want to be a goddess?
She did, but Rory wouldn't let her.
Oh, that makes more sense.
He drags her in, and she's just like, no, no, just one statue, no. And yeah, that's it.
So it's complex.
Yes, yes.
So it's the God Complex.
Yes.
So instead of the God Complex.
The only one who is not convinced they are a god at any point is Rory, because he's got that hint of self-loathing.
I can see that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, yeah.
I can relate to that.
Yeah, because he grew up with Amy.
Well.
Well, you know, it's kind of like, wait, you're not gay?
And what's the woman?
Mels.
Mels. I can never remember her name because it was ridiculous.
Just think of River Pond, Melody Pond. No, Melody.
Yeah.
Wait, no, no.
River. And Mels, which rhymes with Wells, which is where water comes from.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Gush. You know, funny enough.
Oh, boy.
Classic Who.
Yeah.
The Tom Baker one. He did have, like, people who worshipped him. He had, like, stopped somewhere and, yeah.
I assume it's happened on Star Trek, too. Maybe
Doctor Who did it.
Maybe the Next Generation or the original series.
Yeah, it's all good.
Is it weird that the original Star Trek series started, Doctor Who was already around for 4 years when that started, and Star Trek's been around for fucking ever?
Well, you know, not as continuous as...
Did Star Trek start in 67 or was it 66?
66.
Okay, so...
So 3 years.
3 years, okay.
Yeah, that's all good. Yeah. You know, I don't... You know, who knows? There were some comic books that had, like, crossovers with...
I'm sure.
Yeah, no, but they were, like, literal. I mean, it wasn't, like, just, like, fan art. It was, you know, Doctor Who and Star Trek.
Anyway,
let's do a little thing we like to call the Drunk to Who shot of the episode.
Oh, shit, yeah.
And Steve... I assume you've come up with a toast.
Yeah.
And so, please, Steve, share us What is this toast about?
Share us?
Share it with us and our premium subscribers who are listening. You know, it's like they're
not a thing.
They're going to give you an immediate
response. I was going to make a joke about share us and being like, if I could turn back time. But no, no.
If you could find a way to come up with a shot, Steve.
I'm hearing horses. Perry will be so pleased. It's from one of my favorite movies ever. I'm hearing horses. Perry will be so pleased. Jeff Bridges is in it.
Is it Starman?
Robin Williams.
The Baron Munchausen. No.
No.
The last man in New York who's Harry in New York's...
It's a long title.
It's a long... it's funny. I was even thinking about Terry Gilliam earlier, because when you were, talking God Complex, I thought you were going to, I was picturing Time Bandits where, God comes.
When you said Terry Gilliam and God Complex, I thought of a giant foot coming down. Or just the God Complex, no, don't do that.
Oh God, I gotta come up with the title. It was Last Man Standing. No, it's Robin Williams in the park with George. No, what was it?
The Fisher King.
Ah, fuck. Yeah,
The Fisher King. Terry Gilliam came out with Baron Munchausen, The Fisher King, and then 12 Monkeys, and I think Leaving Las Vegas. Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. I think those were four in a row, maybe. Maybe there was something else mixed in there. But that's an impressive little run.
Of that movies that critics and were
They're
recognized?
They're just movies that I think are good.
Okay.
You know, that's an impressive little run.
It is an impressive little run. And
then he's not had much since then.
It was just funny. You were saying Perry. Because there was a companion, her name was Perry.
Oh.
Of Doctor Who from earlier. Her name was, she was the first quote unquote American companion. Oh. Her name was Perpa Gilliam Brown. Yeah.
Gilliam.
So of course, shortened down to Perry. It was played by a British actress, but she had family who was American. So
when was
she
this? Could,
this was in the early 80s, Steve, mid 80s. And she had one of these kind of American accents. Yeah. Okay. I'm speaking American.
Yeah.
And,
Or you just over-enunciate.
Pretty much. And it was just kind of like, wait, they had an American and her name was Perpa Gilliam.
Yeah.
And, but, Perry came from old East Coast, probably arrived on the Mayflower or something. Yeah. And it was just when you said Perry, I'm like... just thinking about old Doctor Who with Tom Baker and shit. When you said that, I'm like, Steve's making a Doctor Who reference?
But a Perry Gilliam sounds like Terry Gilliam.
Perpa Gilliam.
But her
first name is Perpa Gilliam.
No.
Last name Brown.
That's not a name.
Encyclopedia Brown, I get. They just call him Psyche.
Oh, yeah.
But Perpa Gilliam and they shortened it to Perry. Yeah, no, there's no American... No American woman named Perpa Gilliam.
I do like that there's a Twitter user whose handle is Wikipedia Brown.
Oh, that's kind of fun.
I like that.
Oh, that is good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's go watch that episode of Doctor Who, Steve.
All right.
So why don't you push the blue button if you want us to watch it immediately.
Press
the red button.
There's nothing.
If you want us to talk some more.
No, let's be done.
What about the green button, Steve? You know the green button means go. They pushed the green button. Let's go, okay, Steve.
Yeah, let's go.
Let's go.
I have a feeling that if we ever make t-shirts for this show, it's just going to be the phrase, let's be done. Because I feel like I say that all the fucking time.
Well, let's be done and watch this episode
let's
of Doctor
Who.
Unless they push the blue button.
Oh, God. Okay, you know what? They pushed all the fucking buttons.
You actually are acknowledging the premium subscribers?
I just want to watch the episode.
I feel like I've actually won. I've won the actual... We'll see on the other side.
The God biceps.
The God biceps. What? So what happened on this here episode, Steve?
Well, it was much better than what I guessed was going to happen on it. I enjoyed it more.
Well, you kept insisting that Dalek was going to show up.
I know, but I don't know. I think early on that you told me that a Dalek had to appear in every season.
The Doctor always lies, Steve.
Oh, well, you're not the Doctor.
Am I not?
You're the co-host.
Aren't I?
Yeah, you're the co-host.
No, I mean the Doctor?
Oh, no, you're not. Not at all.
Okay.
No.
So what happened?
Has there been a bald Doctor?
First Doctor was a little hair challenged, I might say. But full-on bald? No, they don't allow that in England.
No. Oh, okay.
You know, they all get deported to Portugal.
I was going to say, that's why Patrick Stewart lives here now.
So, Lucy.
What?
The episode started with Lucy in a hotel.
Jesus. Oh, yeah. Praise him. He said, so Lucy. And I'm like, the movie, the Luc Besson movie with Scarlett Johansson?
I like that.
I know you did. Yes, I'm going to try to use more than 20% of my brain. Because, well, scientifically, I am already. So,
Steve, we call you little brains.
I know.
Because if you use more than 5% of your brain, then you don't want to be on Earth.
Oh, that's defending your life. That's right. I was thinking rat brains, which is from Battlefield Earth.
I guess that's like one of John's holes.
Ooh.
You know, where like, you know, it's like, it's not a part of my oeuvre.
No, you don't want to see it. Okay, anyway, so yeah, it starts off with Lucy in a hotel that both reminded me of The Shining and reminded me of the show Angel, because it was like an older hotel. And also Angel like premiered 20 years ago, I think yesterday or something.
Really? That long?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
So, and Lucy's wandering around. She's like, I'm the last one left. She's a cop. And the first time I saw her, I thought it was Amy in a cop outfit.
Okay.
Because we've seen Stripogram or Kissogram Amy as a cop. And I just, the way the hair was and the lighting was, I mean, it was the second shot that I noticed it wasn't Amy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like I thought it was for a long time. But like when the show opened, I'm like, holy shit, Amy's a cop in a hotel? What the fuck is going on? And I was really confused. And then I'm like, oh no, it's some woman named Lucy who's a cop in a hotel. Still, what the fuck is going on? But less urgency, I guess.
I thought possibly an episode of Torchwood.
Oh, yeah. I thought that, too.
Gwen! It's me, Gwen!
That's right, you? Gwen.
I'm Wish. It's Gwen.
Okay. That's spot-on impression.
Thank you!
At least you're consistent with it.
With my Gwen?
Yes. Yeah, so Lucy is running around the hotel. Not running around the hotel. She's in the hotel hallway, and she takes out her pad, and she starts writing, I'm the last one left.
Praise
this thing fears... feeds on fears or whatever. I don't remember. And then she just starts writing praise him over and over again. And then she opens the door. Oh, she says something to the effect of like, what you find your door and you don't expect what's behind it, but what is behind it makes perfect sense. And for her, it's a giant
guy in a gorilla suit.
It's a dude in a gorilla suit. Yeah.
Yeah.
And later on, we find out it's based on a kid's book.
Okay, I thought she like watched Planet Nine from Outer Space when she was a child.
No, when she was there was a kid's, and there are some kids. There's some kids media, media that's aimed for kids that is scary and freaky.
Oh sure,
you know, like there's that Roald Dahl based movie called The Witches, which is apparently terrifying with Angelica Houston.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Why that came to mind more than anything else?
Well, I think that was also Jim Henson.
Oh yeah, Return to Oz.
Oh yeah, that was a bulk. Yeah, that was in the '80s. That was Fruza Balk.
Yeah.
Huh.
Really young Fairuza Balk.
So pretty much Lucy's like, yeah, I'm praise him. And then we cut to credits.
Yeah. It was good that we – sometimes they kind of undercut the cold open by cutting to the Doctor in the TARDIS with Rory and Amy before they go to credits, I think. And it just kind of undercuts the creepy –
what the fuckiness
of it? The creepy mood setting. It's like, yeah.
Because then they'll cut to them going, ha ha ha.
Yeah.
Well, here we are on planet.
We're going to this planet today.
Yes. We're going to planet Beach and Stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, Beach and Stuff is now a hotel.
I thought you were going to say Planet Beaches. And I'm like, they're going to open the door to the TARDIS and there's going to be Bette Midler singing.
Yeah.
To Barbara Hershey?
Yeah. No, it's Barbara Hershey. Okay. Yeah. Right. No.
What? No.
No, we're not doing that today, Steve.
What are you talking about?
We're not doing Bette Midler.
No, I know.
You want me to start singing again.
Always.
Well. We come back from credits and the Doctor and Rory and Amy are like wandering around a stairway.
Oh.
With lots of pictures. What?
Real quick.
Yes?
Credits.
Uh-huh.
They still have the fucking, back when I was a child. Oh. Like, is it that the entire season? Like, the season's almost over, I think.
Yeah, pretty much. There's two more episodes to the proper season.
And I don't know My guess is that Matt Smith is the doctor next season, but Amy and Rory are gone. That's my guess. I don't know.
Okay.
My guess is new companion, same doctor next year. Because for some reason, I think that this doctor is a three-season doctor. Was David Tennant a three-season doctor?
Yes, he
was. Because he had Rose, then Martha, then Donna.
Yes.
Okay. So, and we've had Karen Gillan, and then Karen Gillan and Rory. Amy and Rory for one season, but Amy for one season.
Okay, so who could possibly be his next companion then? Knowing nothing about Doctor Who,
What
will his next companion be?
My guess is a high school girl.
Okay, so like an annoying like Instagrammer?
No, because it's still like 2011, so I think it is anyway, or 2012.
At this point, yes.
Someone who's on Vine a lot, maybe?
A viner,
whatever it is. Yeah,
it's like yeah.
No, I that's my guess, but I think that's because I know Jenna Coleman is a companion. That's a name I know. I don't know who she is.
Well, she was with Peter Capaldi.
Well, then I'm wrong. I'm assuming it's a dude. It's Chris O'Dowd. That would be awesome.
Oh, I'd love a Chris O'Dowd. Oh, that would be amazing.
Or Moss. Oh, let's just watch the IT crowd.
You know, I think there was like talk of Moss possibly being a doctor at some point.
That would have been cool. Yeah.
You know, just like seeing, you know, cause like seeing with that weird hair.
Yeah.
I think that's natural.
Richard Ayoade, I think it is.
What?
So, John.
Yes, Steve.
What happened when we got back from credits?
Then the doctor, Rory, and Amy are in a hotel. And it's like, this is weird. What's going on here?
Oh, yeah.
And then they see
But they're in the lobby and they see all the pictures.
Right.
They see like the.
It's like Employee of the Month picture.
A Santarin. But it underneath it'll say like defeat for the Santarin or like public speaking under the picture of a human name.
Right. Yeah. Like, yeah.
Or, yeah. Just
and, all these different people and or aliens are all like wearing a white shirt and a tie.
Yeah.
And smiling.
Oh, they were.
It was like an Employee of the Month thing.
It was like the Employee of the Month of the Geek Squad.
And we saw Lucy's picture.
Yeah.
And it said like Lucy and then like.
A gorilla man or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, brutal gorilla.
Yeah.
So basically, like, it was like picture of the people, their name, and then what their fear was.
Yes.
Yeah. Or their faith?
I think fear.
Yeah, because it was kind of a weird.
The faith thing comes in later, and it confused it for me.
Yeah. It was like the fear brought down their faith, which then was able to be replaced by
the
faith of the creature.
The faith.
Which it was a. Oh, because this was a creature that liked to be. Oh, yeah, because he said, oh, they're related to the Nymon, which goes to the. It was a Tom Baker thing. It was actually a callback to a Tom Baker episode. Nymon was kind of like a bullish kind of creature, which would like set itself up as a god somewhere. So basically, this set itself up as a god, but because, you know, everyone doesn't believe in God or something.
It took their fears and then made that their faith or supplanted that. I mean, I don't know. But it did remind me of the hotel episode with Angel where there was a fear demon. Well, that's how they found the hotel is because there was a fear demon living in that hotel that fed off people's fears.
Or a femen?
Sure.
Okay.
But it did have it had more of a Shining vibe with the brightly lit, like red carpet kind of thing.
So in this hotel, then suddenly Rita, Howie, and Gibbous show up.
Gibbous, the weird mole looking alien.
Yeah, with the weird little, yeah, he was.
He was a naked mole rat, but wearing a suit.
He was the token alien, whereas the other two were like earthlings.
Yeah.
So it seemed like, you know, most of the people like pulled in were earthlings.
Yeah.
So, you know, I guess like, you know, they're just more. Easily prone to be believing in bullshit theories that will then become religion.
Huh. And also it's the cheapest thing to have is just someone in a nurse's outfit instead of an alien on there.
Yeah. So then Rita.
Rita, who is a doctor probably.
Yeah. Then shows up and it's like, they're all like trying to like, you know, I don't know why they're being like, you know, attacking
because they haven't encountered anybody else except for when they open the door of a room and it's something they're afraid of. So then all of a sudden they're in the lobby with these strange people, it's unprecedented. And they react badly. They're about to like go, oh, we have to beat you up. And then Rita's like, holy shit, no, look at the dilated pupils. They're surprised.
Oh, yeah, because all they've seen are like weird little things that are, like, you know, like
fucking clowns or people in gorilla suits or whatever.
And Joe's already tied up somewhere.
Yeah. So they, so
that was
the
a
doctor,
creepy fucking room with all the, oh, that
so the doctor is like, to Rita is like, oh, I like you. I might want to take you later. Don't tell her.
I
don't
want
tell
you
Amy.
To companion me.
Basically,
wink, wink.
He, yeah, basically he's like, I want you as a companion. And it's like, she was cool.
She was.
I liked her. And then, what was it? Yeah, then they say, oh, what about Joe? And they're like, what? The doctor's like, huh, show me Joe. So we see Joe.
And there's Joe!
He's in, like, a hotel ballroom. And there's all these, like, round tables.
Dummies.
And ventriloquist dummies sitting at them, all laughing.
Laughing.
And he's just sitting there tied up.
And smiling.
Yeah.
Praise him.
Yeah.
Because he's already been converted.
He's like, I used to hate these things. I used to be afraid of these things, but now I think they're amazing. They're hilarious.
Yeah.
And then they make a point of looking at like his tie pin or clip, which is a horseshoe.
Yeah.
And a lucky horseshoe, and then his cufflinks, which are dice.
He's a gambler.
Clearly.
So somehow they destroyed his faith in gambling
in
with
luck.
Ventriloquist.
His belief in luck.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that what it was?
I think so. I think it was signifying. Honestly, it was a little odd.
It was confusing. I'm still confused.
I'm confused by the mythology of it. I wish that, not to skip ahead, but I think it could have been a better episode if they had been more, they had abandoned the faith thing and just gone on the fear thing.
Yeah.
Because Amy's fear could have been like, oh, Rory and the doctor have left me alone. They've left me behind. And we could have even tapped into the previous episode of the girl who waited. You know what I mean? Of that was her fear, that she would be left behind on her own alone. You know what I mean?
Well, okay, because that's what ended up being Amy's fear,
kind of. But it was just the doctor left her. It was her faith in the doctor. It wasn't really a fear. It was her faith. And that made no sense to me.
See, to me, this was all kind of weird because, like, you know, when Rita, you know, when they're
and we're
hiding,
skipping
when,
around.
Right, but, we are. So this doesn't have to be all, like, literal, like, you know, retelling of it. But, like, when they took Joe out of the room.
Yeah.
And, like, Joe's like, no, I'm waiting for him. He's beautiful. Praise him.
Yeah.
But they, like, take Joe out. Joe's ready to die and, like, get captured by the creature.
Yeah.
But then, so they're hiding. And then Rita.
It sounded like you said they're hiney.
So they're hiney-ing, and like the room that she, you know, pulled, you know, so Rita's got Joe.
Yeah.
And so the room she goes in, it turns out it's her father saying, you've got to be, how dare you? All right.
Well, and also really quick, this is when Rory sees an emergency exit. And he's like, dude, an emergency exit. And everybody's like, oh, fuck off. We're going into a room.
Yeah.
But
exit.
And he's like, but fucking exit. And then he looks back at it and it's changed into just a hotel room door.
Where they established later that would have been just for him.
I guess.
Because he has no fears or afraid.
No, he has no faith.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, Amy's faith is in the doctor.
Which makes sense. But then again, I think if you had just stuck to the fear thing and not gone to the faith thing, it could have been a better episode. That's just me.
Well, see, what confuses me, again, I was like trying to lead up to, is like, you know, when Rita's in the room and she sees her father, who is like dressed as a doctor with a stethoscope, and it's like, you got to be, how dare you? And then it establishes right around then that she's Muslim.
Yeah.
All right. How does that destroy her faith?
Well,
because she's, you know, basically said, like, I'm a good Muslim. And, you know, it's like.
And it was the name of the. Sorry. She thought she was maybe in the Muslim hell. And that's why it came up that she was Muslim.
And she was okay with that.
She was like, cool. It's cool if we're in the Muslim hell because I don't really belong here because I was a good Muslim. But I think maybe I want to give the show credit, it's that her faith as a Muslim, just like, you know, the faith that I grew up with, it's like a faith that you inherit. So maybe it came from her dad, and maybe she thinks of her dad as like a Muslim first. Like that was like his defining thing.
I don't know. It still confused me. Like I was kind of like, yeah. you know, when she says I'm Muslim and she's like, says the doctor, don't be scared. I'm like, girl, oh,
shit. You have encountered a lot of shitty people.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Anyway.
So they're going around, and then like, you know, they find Joe's lifeless body. After, you know, he's just like, no, I'm going to let go.
And his robes, like, disintegrated. I mean, it was really bad CGI, but the ropes kind of melted away. But then you realize, like, he was tied to the chair in the room with all the ventriloquist dummies. So it's not like the people, the survivors and the doctor's crew put those ropes on him. It's not like they were real ropes to begin with. They were just like magic minotaur ropes.
They were keeping him there with the manic with the ventriloquist dummy. So that makes sense.
Yeah. So it made sense that they would just kind of melt away. Sure. And also it's Gibbous. He was trying to convince Gibbous, whose species, his entire planet is like, we welcome the conquerors. It was a funny bit.
Yeah.
About his species is like, oh yeah, our name, our national anthem is all praise be to insert name here.
Yeah, and it was delicious later when the doctor's like, yeah, you're aggressively like this species, you know, you just like
you use that in order to survive and defeat others. Like it's just
Gibbous was a piece of shit. I wish the doctor would just sort of spaced him.
Yeah, you're an aggressive not coward, but you're in a you aggressively concede.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Yeah. Piece of shit.
So and he
basically lets Howie die later.
Yeah. He lets Joe talk him into saying like, you know, you might live if you let me go.
I think it was Howie.
Oh yeah, that was Howie.
Yeah. That was Howie.
Howie has a stammer. He's a guy who believes in conspiracy theories and the CIA is doing secret shit in Norway.
He was a blogger.
Yeah, he was a blogger. So.
Yeah, his room was like a room of sexy women who were making fun of his stutter,
which I can.
That's
a legit fear.
Oh fuck yeah! So then that destroyed it. So you know, Howie's like praise him, and then they try to like restrain Howie, and Howie's like
And then Gibbous leaves him alone because Howie says like, "How do you know if you don't let me go that he'll let you live? If you let me be, if you sacrifice me, he will let you. He might let you live."
Yeah.
Which is obviously a lie. Yeah. And then Howie, the doctor, is like running around looking for him and finds him eventually, like in the hotel.
Yeah.
Oh, and the hotel is like the staircases in Hogwarts in the Harry Potter movies. They just move around, like the hallways.
The hallways.
So you could, like, later on, Rita says, I could be 50 miles away when she goes into a hallway.
Yeah, because like Rita, when she saw her dad, she realized praise him. But then they also said too that it
took her a long time to go down though.
Right, go down that route. But it also said that it doesn't happen right away. That it's like kind of like the spark that makes, you know, it's like that little like niggling doubt in the back of your head that like just keeps going that until you're ready.
Your faith.
Right. Yeah. So that basically happened to her. But even like she was smart, even when it happened, she's like, yeah, I accept it.
Yeah.
You know, she still had, like, you know, her smarts with her when she allowed it to happen.
She was a really good character. I really liked her. I was sorry to see her die, but I kind of understood why she had to go.
We might see a Muslim Indian woman later.
Okay.
As a companion. It'll be years from now. But anyway. Okay.
Whatever. I won't remember.
I like her.
So, So, Rita, anyway. How he's gone. They're all looking for him. They find him. They lay his body next to Joe's, and I think
with the mannequins that are
they're like in there.
The ventriloquist dummies are.
I just assumed there were too many of them to like get rid of. But like, wouldn't those have been like? Well, I thought at the time, like, wouldn't those have just like dissipated or something after he died? But they did explain it later that the Minotaur was like glitching, essentially.
Well, the space station the Minotaur was on, because normally it would have like gotten rid of. Because like at one point they're running down the halls, and he was credited as PE teacher comes out.
Oh yeah,
yeah. So like, you know, can you see like a PE teacher just kind of like, well, you know, it's like, you know, don't got your jock straps on, you know?
If you don't have your gym uniform, you're just gonna have to do it in your underwear. Is essentially what he said, which is like would have been traumatizing to a child.
And then later, a Well, we saw him twice, the clown with the red balloon.
Yeah. So, and I think, was it Rita and Amy who went in there? And we're just like, oh, what the fuck is this?
I believe
some
so.
Some clown.
Yeah.
Whatever.
So, yeah. So, the rooms for other people were still present, which they shouldn't have been.
You have to find your room.
You know, because, you know, we don't know how long this Minotaur creature has been there.
And it's been glitching. And the Minotaur is... At one point in time, the doctor translates and says the Minotaur is like, I'm tired of this. I want to be done.
Yeah.
I want to be done.
Yeah.
It's like me and in a podcast, like, be done.
You know, so, okay. Well, they were saying, so this is like a prison. Was this a prison for the creature, or was this to help the creature survive?
I don't know.
And it became a prison.
I thought it was a prison. I don't know.
That's exactly
what I kind of thought confusing. Maybe it was a prisoner. It was a prison for the Minotaur, I kind of thought. But I don't know.
Well, and like the little trivia stuff, which I didn't think of like really interesting enough to like bring up, you know, afterwards. But like it said, like, you know, at the end when the illusion of the hotel slips away.
When the illusion of the hotel slips away and they're kind of in like a second state, like a rejected scene from Tron.
Well, I thought in Star Trek The Next Generation, they have the holo suite.
Hologram?
Holograph suite, whatever. Yeah. So it's like, basically that's kind of what it was. But then there was there was a control panel.
Yeah.
And there was like writing on there. The trivia that I saw said that that's the same writing that was there. Remember the Satan pit? Episode with the creature that like was Satan but had been there since like time immemorial.
Yeah.
They're saying this is the same writing.
So there
was on there. So I don't know if that was just they were reusing some sort of like, you know,
iconography
graphics.
Yeah.
Or if it was intentional.
Yeah, that makes
sense. Because it could have been there for millions and millions of years.
Yeah. So there's something that's imprisoning really kind of really powerful creatures.
Again, a godlike thing, which could be Satan, a godlike thing, which could have been worshipped as a god in the past.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
So anyway, then eventually Rita dies and she starts saying praise him, and she wanders off by herself, and she's like, you know, doctor, don't. She's on the phone with the doctor because the doctor's in the reception area at the security desk.
Yeah, and he sees, like, all the cameras. Yeah. And he's like, oh, there's cameras.
And she goes into a random room, and is like, hey,
he calls that room.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
And she goes in there, picks up the phone, and she's like, don't watch this.
Yeah.
Like, I can't help it. I feel overwhelmed by him.
Praise him.
Don't watch me lose my faith. Or betray my faith.
Something, yeah.
Something like that. And so I think that's what cues the doctor into what this Minotaur thing is feeding on, is using faith instead of fear.
Yeah.
Because the doctor kept telling people, like, to look to their faith and to conquer their fears, which was odd. But it's still...
So basically, like, told him, like, have your fears in the forefront of your mind so that you can conquer it.
But you could have just used the fucking... I don't know. The faith thing threw me, and it didn't make much. It made less sense to me.
Well, then, like, you know, during the travels and travails of like wandering around the hotel, Amy looks in a room, and Amy gets like the weird little praise him thing.
And
so again, like then it's like setting the thing, but we don't see it till later what her room is.
Yes, but also the doctor has a room.
Yeah.
He has room number 11, which I assume is very significant.
Hers is room number 7, because that's the age she was when she first met the doctor.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't even notice her room number.
Yeah.
Because I only looked when it was the doctor's room. I was only looking
at he's the 11th, right? I'm like... Rawr, rawr,
rawr. Is he? I didn't think so. I thought it was the 12th. I know it's complicated because there's a weird fucking movie that happened.
Yeah, there's, yeah.
And technically, know, remember David Tennant regenerated it, as himself again. Like,
yeah.
So I don't know. It's like complicated mythology, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Which doctor is he considered to be?
Canonically, he's the 11th doctor.
Okay. So that makes sense. Although not, I guess.
It'll be explained later.
Okay.
They'll make up an explanation for it later.
Oh, I'm sure.
You know.
I'm sure. But they never show what's in the doctor's room.
You could see it in the reflection of his eye a little bit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we're not going back.
Did you see that or did you read it?
Yes and yes. When I was forewarned, I knew what to look for.
Okay. So.
And he'll bring it up later.
It's the gibbous, which makes me think of a monkey, but that's a gibbon.
Yeah.
So it's the gibbous who reminded me of Clem from Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And only when they talked about him looking at videos of cats or something, because Clem liked to eat kittens.
Oh, weird.
He played poker for kittens.
Well, everybody likes a kitty.
Yeah.
And they turn into cats. You know, so might as well die when they're young.
Yeah, definitely.
They taste better when they're young and scared, Steve! It too. Sorry. Yeah.
I'm allergic to cats and dogs, too. So I don't want to know.
Oh. Well, I wonder if you'd be allergic to cat meat.
Probably not, because the fur and the oil from the oil in the fur, the dander, is not involved.
There you go.
You know what?
So clearly you've thought about this.
Why don't you? Well, yeah, because you just mentioned it.
Well, you know,
you kill and cook up a cat, and the next time I come over, and then we can eat it and see if we either of us have a reaction.
Well, how do you know I didn't already, Steve? Maybe what's going to be on the pizza I'm making afterwards.
I don't know.
Maybe it's cat meat.
Maybe. I don't know.
Probably not.
I'll eat it because I'm hungry.
Well, yeah. You know, if I put it in front of you, you'll eat it.
Pretty much. Just like whatever beer you'll put in front of me, I'll drink.
So Amy starts going, praise him.
Yeah. Amy starts to lose it.
Because they found notes that Lucy was making.
Yeah.
You know, the first victim that we saw, first person we saw who said, I'm the last one.
Yeah.
So they grab them by a group. So it's clearly like some sort of like, do they sign up for a tour? I'm assuming.
The doctor is looking for what they have in common. And what they had in common was faith. Joe had faith in luck. Howie had faith in conspiracy theories. Rita had faith in her Muslim heritage or in Islam. And Gibbous had faith in the conquering aliens.
Now, I thought they were all just kind of randomly pulled. So they were sought out?
I guess.
I didn't get any of that.
See, I got it. I got it because he said that you are all pulled because of your faith, and then Rory wasn't having any problems because he didn't really have faith in anything. Although, for me as a viewer of the season, I would say that Rory has faith in Amy.
Right. So would it be like old Amy would be in his room?
No, in his room would be just him sitting alone. As a nurse who just was pining and missing Amy, like he was Jeff, the guy who looked at porn on his laptop and lived with his mom. Like,
do you remember his name was Jeff? Wow.
I don't know why.
Do you identify with him?
Maybe.
Maybe.
No, I don't.
Sound like
what?
You're doing a little Catherine Hepburn.
I didn't mean to.
Maybe.
So, no, but that to me would be Rory's biggest fear is that Amy never likes him and that he just lives out his life pining for Amy and that she's never around. Maybe his biggest fear is Amy being with someone else that he sees.
Like, maybe he like goes in the room and Amy's fucking the doctor.
Yes, probably.
That would be a weird episode.
Well, yes.
That'd be more like a Torchwood episode.
Yeah. So... that to me would be Rory's fear, but he only has faith in Amy, and I assume the doctor to a certain extent.
So now, like, you know, now that we know Amy has been, she's praising him.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh shit, we got to save Amy.
And so, that Gibbous dude is just like, awesome, she took my place.
Yeah, it's like, oh, that's
good. I mean, he never says that, but he's just,
yeah,
he's the coward.
He's like, oh, well, you know, maybe if we leave her, then we'll be left alone. Like, dude, that hasn't worked before.
That hasn't worked the two times before.
Yeah, you know, just like, you know, tuck your head under your feet and just curl into a ball, I'm assuming.
Okay.
That's what moles do, right?
I don't know.
But then you're like, yeah, so no, they're trying to save Amy, right, by running through the halls because now the creature is coming for Amy.
Yeah.
But then they, like, pick her up. They, like, barricade themselves in a room. Her room.
Obviously her room.
And her fear is like she's waiting for the doctor.
Yeah, as a child, which actually happened.
Or that's her fear or her faith.
I don't know. See, that's why it got confusing for me because
the creature's trying to get in there.
But her fear was that what? She was a child and the doctor never came back? Because that actually happened.
Yeah.
Like that happened to her, and I assume that Lucy never got attacked by a giant dude in a gorilla suit. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
You know, like I can see Howie getting laughed at for stuttering because of some shallow assholes, but like, I mean, I don't know. So well, your so greatest fear is something that actually happened. Actually, you know what? Now that I think of it, to Amy, Howie, and Rita, their room had something that plausibly happened to them, but Lucy had something that didn't really happen to her, which is weird.
Faith is weird, Steve.
And how is her faith, Lucy's faith in the giant gorilla dude, like what would her faith be in her job as a police officer? Like overpowering that? I don't know.
Maybe she was a kissogram person too.
No, because she was wearing pants, and Amy is a Amy as a kissogram person was wearing a mini skirt.
Okay, well, yeah, well, a sexy cop.
Well, but you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't make sense. You got to make this shit make sense yeah. to me in these kind of episodes. Like, I thought it was a pretty good standalone episode, but when you think about, really think about it, like the faith versus fear thing, like you should have chosen one. You should have chosen fear, because Rita had faith in her, in Islam, in her Muslim heritage. And I apologize if I'm using those two terms interconnectedly and they're not interconnected. I don't know enough about it, being raised as a Baptist boy in the Ooh, suburbs.
We're sorry.
Everybody is, especially me. But like, I don't know if it didn't make sense to me. Like her parent, everybody has parent. It doesn't matter your faith to have parents who are disappointed in you. You know what I mean?
Right.
And your fear of disappointing your parents isn't connected to your faith. I like, it doesn't make sense.
Again, that's kind of like threw me off. So now, like,
yeah, you know, like I wish they had just chosen one and fucking run with it.
Yeah. So now that, like, you know, we're in Amy's room and Amy sees herself as young Amelia, yeah. and then the doctor uses like doctor word jujitsu to, like, you know, basically say, it's like, oh, your faith is in me. You stop having faith in me. And then the creature.
He basically does that shitty thing where people are like, no, I never loved you. Go away. Like,
yeah,
you know, that sitcom TV thing where, like, the Harry and the Hendersons, we hate you. Run away. You know, duh, we never loved you. You weren't our friend. Trying to get the Bigfoot to run away.
Wow, that was just like John Voight.
So, no, John Lithgow.
Sure. That was just like John Lithgow.
Because he was in the actual movie.
I couldn't come up with the name, though. I remember the name was John. So, like, yeah, so now, like, Amy's faith in the doctor has been destroyed, which now the creature cannot feed on her because her faith is now, I don't know, whatever. So then, like, you know, the illusion falls away.
But the Gibbous dude is still there.
Yeah,
the guy named Gibbous is still there, and he was summoned, so he clearly has some faith fear issues.
Well, right, but they didn't find his room yet. We thought it was the...
Not that we saw, no.
No, but he didn't either, because then he would have been all praising him.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, we were in the room with, like, the weeping angels at one point, which were not real.
Oh, yeah.
But that isn't an image of a weeping angel then become a weeping angel?
I don't know.
Mind blown.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
My mind has been blown.
But that was his room.
Wasn't it?
Because he and Amy talked, and she's like, no, this might have been my room. And then we find her actual room later.
Right. No, but like,
so I assume it was his room.
But it didn't necessarily be his room, because remember they said, like, all these other rooms were there. Because if it was his room, then his faith would have been destroyed with the angel.
Yeah, see, I don't know.
Yeah, that's just it. My point is, like, so now we're like, you know, so the Minotaur is dying, and it turns out it's some sort of like beast that like feeds on worship.
And the doctor kept saying Minotaur.
It's British, I'm assuming.
Which is odd.
Well, so what's weird too is that, okay, so now the creature is dying.
Yeah.
And the doctor's interpreting what the creature is saying.
Yeah.
And the creature's like, you know, oh, a traveler who travels in space.
Space is, and time.
And time is like, you know,
now. So tired of life, tired, it's going to embrace death.
Embrace death. And doctor's like, see, that's what he is. And then the creature says, not talking about me. Yeah. Then it dies. It's
like, duh.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course you were talking about the doctor.
Right, and then Gibbous is like, you mind give me a ride home?
You know, he's pointing through a window, a porthole or whatever, window. He's pointing to Rory. It's like, see that gray dot down there? That's my planet.
Okay. Yeah, like gray.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess they're nearby. I don't know.
So then they obviously drop him off. And then, of course, they get in the TARDIS and they drive. Or the Doctor takes Rory and Amy back to a set of English row houses with a TARDIS blue door, as you pointed out. I didn't notice. And then a fancy red convertible.
Yeah, the doc, and they're like, why are we here? The doctor's like, because your new car! Rory's like, so it's my new car! I love this guy so much!
He's like, how'd you know this is my favorite car? And the doctor's like, because one time he showed me a picture of it and said, this is my favorite car.
Oi.
So then Amy sends Rory inside, and she and the doctor have a conversation, and she's like, you're leaving me like this? And he's like, yeah, better like this than standing over your grave. And
yeah.
It's like, well, and I started to think, it's like, the companions I've seen are Rose, Martha, Donna, and Amy/Rory.
Okay.
So Donna had a bad end, but not really. They had to wipe her memory of the doctor.
Well, she had an enlightening that was de-enlightened, which kind of sucked for her.
Kind of. So she was the most tragic.
Yes.
Martha, not that tragic. She became a badass alien fighter.
Yeah.
With Mickey, because... They're
both black.
They were the two black characters on the show, so apparently they had to hook up. And then Rose ended up with her dad alive and really rich on a planet, so she wasn't back on regular Earth. With a little brother plus, like, a clone of David Tennant to, like, play, to be romantically involved with.
I have all the Doctor's memories. Let's fuck.
Yeah, so...
I'm human.
I don't know, obviously, the history of the Doctor pre-Christopher Eccleston, but it doesn't seem like the companions are, like, doomed, you know?
I mean, you know, there have been ones that died in the past, and, you know, maybe died because the being around the Doctor.
Okay.
Had they not been companions of the Doctor,
they would have lived.
Possibly
long,
yes.
And healthy lives,
right? Exactly. So, you know, there was that.
Sarah Jane is a companion I met, but I met her after she was a companion.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah. So she came back, and right, exactly. You know, there was different times, and you know, I could name, you know, it's like Adric, yeah. Sarah Kingdom, whatever. There's ones that were like became companions and then died because the proximity of the Doctor and blah, blah, blah.
Okay, so it is a legit thing.
He has guilt.
The legit thing where the Doctor's like, he's focusing on the negative.
A bit.
Yeah, he's focusing on the negative, like, you will die or your life will turn to shit if you stay with me. And she's like, okay, I kind of get it. I understand. I respect that because there are things that I don't know. Like, Amy might be my favorite companion, Amy Rory. Might be my favorite companion because they're awesome. And so, like, she stays behind and the Doctor leaves, and then Rory comes running out with, like, champagne and a couple of glasses, like, hey, we're celebrating, but where's the Doctor?
She's like, oi.
Oi, yeah. And then next week on. And then you kind of shut the TV off.
Well, I turn off the sound, and you're like, I know.
I know to hit the home button on my Roku so it doesn't play the next week on, so I don't even see the damn title.
Exactly.
But yeah, so...
You liked it?
Yeah, like we said, it could have been really good if they tweaked it a little. I think if they got the mythology of the creature a little more solid, the faith versus fear thing really... didn't work to me.
I wonder if we're overthinking it. You know what I mean?
Maybe, but I mean, maybe if you just watch it. I mean, obviously, we're talking about it for a podcast, but
then
again, before we hit record, we talked for like 45 minutes about the fucking It Chapter 2 and how it didn't really work.
Did we record that though?
No, God, no.
Oh, okay. We took that
out. Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
But, so we're overanalyzing, fine. But you know what? Your TV show should be up for more than a cursory glance. It should be, it should survive a discussion.
True.
And this was the third episode in a row where they tried to make us think that Amy was going to fucking die. And I'm just tired of that.
Now Amy's going to live. He's not going to look at their graves.
Okay. So now you saying that makes me think in the next episode, he's going to look at their graves.
Dude, he just said,
I know. I'm kidding. Okay. I'm kidding. Yeah, the third episode in a row is the girl who waited, and then the one where she turned into a doll.
Oh yeah, that was that was the one before that.
Yeah, so it's third episode in a row where they basically threatened Amy's life, and I'm just like, oh fuck you! I know she's not going to die in the middle of the season.
Right.
It's if she dies, it's going to be a big fucking deal.
So you liked it or not?
I did, but it could have been better.
All right. So the writer of this episode was Toby Withhouse.
And I recognize the name. It seems vaguely familiar.
It's his third episode that he's written for Doctor Who. He wrote School Reunion.
The one with Giles.
And Sarah Jane.
Okay.
And The Vampires of Venice.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which was the first, was that the first one that Rory was a companion on?
Yes. Well, I mean, we met Rory before that, but it's the first one he actually traveled.
It's literally what I just said.
Yeah.
God damn it, John. This podcast's over.
You mean a companion who's actually traveled with the Doctor?
Like, this is his first official companion episode. Don't bring up Adam.
Why would I do that, Steve?
Because
you did it yourself.
Because your I Heart Adam tattoo.
Oh, you know, I did love Adam. He was dreamy. So he was the writer. We'll see his name again.
Oh, I'm sure.
But, you know, he actually started as an actor. Then he gave up on acting because he didn't really get much, you know, chance to act.
Was he an actor on Doctor Who?
We'll see.
Oh, okay. Maybe. Okay.
But he created Being Human.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
A show I've never watched, but I've heard good things.
Right. You know, it's like, you know, what can a vampire, yeah, a mummy, and a rascible vampire do?
What happens when they, you know, stop being fake and start being real getting real?
Being real human.
Yeah.
So he created it. He like wrote most of the episodes also. And of course he got credit for the American one, which nobody gave a shit about.
It was created by.
Yeah. Pretty much. So kind of like how what's-his-face got for The Office.
Yeah, give him a nice paycheck.
Yeah.
So yeah, like Ricky Gervais and that other guy who created The Office never have to work
again.
Stephen Merchant.
He's weirdly tall.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So yeah.
And then he's just kind of gangly.
He is.
He does occasional acting work too.
I loved him in Logan.
Yes.
Yeah, I loved it. The director was Nick Horan. It's the second episode of 5.
Okay.
That he's directed for Doctor Who. I don't know if you're familiar with this episode called The Girl Who Waited.
Oh, it sounds vaguely familiar.
Yeah. And the last episode he will direct is The Day of the Doctor, which is the 50th anniversary one.
That's the big one. Okay.
So there's two more, obviously. Then they're in the middle there somewhere. Ooh.
Yeah. Because new listener Thomas wrote in about the Night of the Doctor as we would be covering it, and we said yes, we would.
Oh yeah,
just like we did the one red nose thing with Peter Merchant, is it David Merchant something?
Peter Davidson.
I was just thinking Stephen Merchant, I guess.
The fourth Doctor.
Yeah.
Peter
Davidson.
You know, when he like showed up with David Tennant.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, it was kind of like the prequel to the Titanic episode.
Yeah.
It's, you know, because after he dropped off.
We had to watch that on like Vimeo with French subtitles, I think. Something.
That was so weird.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at the cast peoples.
Yes.
Outside of two others, I can only, the actress who played Lucy.
She looked vaguely. Did I mention that I thought it was Karen Gillan for a second at the beginning, right?
Yeah, she really had nothing.
Yeah.
So the actress who played Lucy, the actor who played Howie.
Yeah.
And the actor who played Rita's father.
Okay.
Yeah, we saw him very briefly.
Yeah, just for a couple seconds.
They all appeared on episodes of Doctors, which I think was a nighttime soap in England. Okay. That's the only reason it was like interesting to me.
Okay.
I'm looking at seeing like there's nothing interesting, and then I kept seeing episodes of Doctors. They weren't like regulars.
But Rita's dad, was he dressed as a doctor?
He was.
Okay, that's what
which
I
is why, you know, so maybe she was a nurse, who knows?
I don't know.
She was in like hospital scrubs.
The blue scrubs to me, from my extensive knowledge of the TV show Scrubs, blue scrubs mean doctor, green scrubs mean surgeon, pink scrubs means nurse.
What about white scrubs? Means, yeah, that shit's going to get washed.
Yeah, that means you're
going to... That's just like, hey, you had too much bleach in the wash.
I think visitor. It's like a white belt in karate.
So it's like aliens. Anywho, so Spencer Wilding, he played the creature.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so you really couldn't tell who he looked like.
No.
Now, I was looking at him.
He did, did he do that because he actually has cloven hooves?
Well, he probably likes to wear high heels and yes. stuff, so I imagine. So looking at his stuff, he had like bit parts in a bunch of films, including, you know, again, like, you know, don't ask what the characters were. They were just kind of like little, you know, it's like, you know, Angry Guard or whatever. He was in Batman Begins, Guardian of the Galaxy.
Oh, cool.
Jupiter Ascending, because he's 6 foot six.
I was about to say, because he's really, is it because he's really tall?
Because he's really tall. So that's why he played. So so now in like more impressive, he played, okay, remember that movie Victor Frankenstein that starred with Dan Radcliffe?
And James McAvoy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He played the creature. I'm sorry, the Prometheus.
I never saw it, but I definitely listened to the Flophouse episode where they discussed it.
Yeah, so he was the creature.
Okay.
And now his biggest claim to fame, in Rogue One, he played Darth Vader.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, it was kind of fun.
Awesome.
Yeah. And now the other one was...
Can we just watch Rogue One again?
I liked Rogue One.
I loved Rogue One.
Yeah, that was a good movie. So Gibbous.
Yes. The Mole Man.
He's David Walliams. Did you ever see this show, Little Britain?
No.
Did we watch episodes of Little Britain USA or something?
I don't think we did, but...
Well, you know, that's Matt Lucas's show.
He's the alopecia guy who was in... He was Rebel Wilson's brother in Bridesmaids.
Correct. Well, David Walliams was the creator and co-star on Little Britain with Matt Lucas, who we may see at a later point. So that's the cast and crew. They're really kind of trivia, except for...
The crew member of the day?
Unsung crew member of the episode, Steve.
Oh, I'm sorry. Do you want me to go outside?
Trademark, copyright,
you do this on your own?
Asterisk.
Okay.
Today I chose, by randomizer...
Which means that just kind of glanced at something.
Well, I looked at it, like, I did a woman in the last episode, so I was, like, just looking for a guy's name.
A dude's name?
Hit it.
Yeah.
And, like, I found the name Scott Fisher.
Okay.
He was a construction charge hand.
Okay. I don't know what that means.
I know, right? So there's various titles under the category of art department. That's what I found.
So, well, I assumed it was set building in some way, but construction charge hand, it's the charge hand that I don't understand.
Yeah, not understand, so. So, he was in the first, the same capacity.
Okay.
In Torchwood. So, series one of Torchwood is in 8 episodes.
Not in, but worked on.
Yes.
Okay.
Same diff. He was the entire 3 series of Da Vinci's Demons. That was on like AMC and here in the States, right?
No, I think it was on Stars.
Okay.
But yeah, there seems to be, that's not the first time you've brought up someone who'd worked on both. So maybe it's like a British production.
No, I believe it's a British production. I'm sure
maybe
it's like
there's
a BBC
some sort of
or...
deal, because I know that Torchwood Children of Earth, that's what aired on Stars, I think, right?
I don't think it was Children of Earth. I think it was the other one. It was Miracle Day.
Oh, Miracle Day. Okay.
Yeah,
sorry.
Children of Earth, I think, was still on BBC or Sci-Fi or something.
Yeah, BBC and Stars seem to have like some sort of relationship with each other.
Now, the latest and last credits for him, it was for the 4th and, as of now, final series of Sherlock.
Which was not great.
Yeah, it wasn't. But like on Doctor...
That was several years ago, right?
Yeah, exactly. That was in 2017.
Oh, well, so that was the last... So 2 years ago.
Well, that's my point. That's the last thing, you know. So like, but his, he worked on 37 episodes of Doctor Who.
That's a lot.
Yeah, he started with Human Nature.
Oh,
that was
shit.
The one where the Doctor was pretending to be human in like World War I era.
With the woman from Spaced.
Yes.
Whose name I'm spacing on.
Yes.
Jessica something.
Jessica Hahn.
No, not Jessica Hahn.
Yeah.
You mean the woman who was involved with a televangelist and then Sam Kinison in the 80s?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Weren't we all?
No.
No? And then, so he worked on series 3 up through series 6. he's basically, this is series six we're in now, and he'll work through the Christmas episode of this series.
Okay.
So from, he worked on Doctor Who for 4 years.
Okay.
And then like, yeah, he hasn't really, you know, maybe he's like just a carpenter.
Or maybe he's working on shit that hasn't been released yet.
And that's all I got, Steve.
Okay, cool.
So, hey, did we get any viewer letters?
We got an email.
Oh, sweet.
Tim emailed in a couple days ago, several
friend
days
of the
ago.
Show, Tim.
Podcast intern, San Diego Comic-Con correspondent.
Comic correspondent, Tim.
So the subject is Fly Delta.
Nice.
And it's, since Steve talked about old episodes on the last podcast, I was surprised, I was surprised on a recent flight to find 5 episodes of Doctor Who on the entertainment system.
Wow!
2 from Jodie and 3 older ones.
Oh.
Of course I watched them all, but I was most impressed.
How long was your flight?
I was most impressed with the Vashta Narada twofer. Quite a different experience in headphones. Very spooky.
That was the science of the, okay.
But I'm going to have to do my rewatches with audio better than just my TV. So when you can, who dudes, Fly Delta, allons-y, Tim.
Well, the Vashta Narada were, hey, who turned out the lights?
Was that
Science of the Library.
Oh, okay. Okay. That was very cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's definitely one that I wouldn't mind revisiting.
Hey, who turned out the lights?
Yeah. For some reason, I thought it was the Weeping Angels, because the second Weeping Angels episode with Amy, wasn't there some other alien species involved?
Well, that was with the church
and River Pond,
right?
For some reason, that made me think of that
River Song.
Oh, sorry.
Okay. Don't let me, we don't want the subscribers to get all up in our, our comment section.
No, there's none.
When they get up on there and they'll just bombard us with like their Instagrams.
But they know me.
They'll TikTok your ass, Steve.
I don't know what that means.
You don't know what TikTok is?
Well, I know what it means, but I didn't know what that, I know it's some social media. It's like the new Vine, but I don't know what you were using it for in that context.
No, dance it off. I don't know.
Whatever.
I wonder what the fifth one was. He said there was 5 episodes.
Two from Jodie and 3 older ones.
Yeah, well,
and so
two
the
of them.
Narada,
well, that was two-parter.
Vashta Narada, twofer. So that was 2 of the older ones, but I don't know.
I don't know.
Maybe you should fly some fucking where and find out.
I wonder if we can find out on the interwebs.
Maybe.
What they're showing. Yeah, I wonder what.
But
like,
thank you, Tim.
Thanks, Tim.
Thanks
for writing in, Tim.
And the sound thing, like if you watch something with headphones, it's definitely a different experience than if you watch it like with the TV sound.
Oh, and especially like I think Science of the Library, and
I would imagine
that was like a pretty, because
that's a creepy episode.
Yeah, that would be like kind of hard to hear.
Vashta Narada.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, who turned out the lights?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but like definitely I think listening to a movie in headphones, I think it's definitely a different experience.
It is true.
Yeah.
All right, Steve.
It doesn't mean I'm going to like watch, Basket Case or Sleepaway Camp or Reanimator at home in headphones. I'm going to just fucking listen to the TV.
And then put on closed captioning because you're old.
Yeah, sometimes. For those movies, who cares?
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
It's like, arr!
Yeah.
All right, Steve, the next episode we're going to watch is Closing Time.
Oh, my God. We haven't even gotten here yet.
Assuming you're not going to, just tell me about a Seismonic song from, the 90s.
Oh, my God. How do you know the name of that band?
I looked it up earlier.
Okay. I was like, because I thought it was Rob Thomas and Matchbox 20 and...
Oh, no. The song's from 1998. Does this song feel like it's over 2 decades old?
No.
Hey, Steve, what's Closing Time about?
Closing Time is about... The doctor is basically he spins the wheel, the roulette wheel on the TARDIS.
The wheel of where the fuck I'm going
to
go next.
I was trying not to say the wheel of time because that is a gigantic Robert Jordan book series.
Okay.
I don't want to read.
Yeah.
So the doctor goes onto the TARDIS and he's kind of mopey and meh, meh, meh. But he, I don't know.
I miss Amy and Rory.
Yeah. So the doctor, it actually is like a series of scenes of him being like kind of like energy-less, going like, meh, I'm over here. Oh, I solved your problem. I solved your problem. I'm over here now and I solved your problem. Meh. Like, he's just basically like being the doctor, but distilled down. And he's just like, I find this boring and uninteresting. And so he goes back to visit Amy and Rory, and he goes to their place, and boom, they're not there. They're not where he left them.
Oh.
In the weird house that he bought? Because is that their house?
Yeah, I was wondering about that.
Yeah, that was weird.
Maybe he like went in the future past yeah. and like bought it for them.
And so he goes back to their place and it's abandoned. And when he's examining it, what does he find but someone we've seen before? And it's Captain Jack, I'm going
to
say.
You always want Captain Jack to be back, don't you?
Dude, we watched Torchwood a long time ago. Yeah. I liked it. So, and he's the one guy who's like, seems like, not the one guy, but he seems very willing to play this character again.
Oh, God, yeah. How would they explain how old he looks now, though?
I know. He does look a little old. They're gonna hand wave it away. They're going to ignore the fact that he looks a little older.
You know, that's kind of how they explain how River Song.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'll just, like, fuck with my appearance.
Yeah, I think I'll make myself look older just for the hell of it. So anyway, so Captain Jack says, oh, no, I came here looking for Amy and Rory as well. And the doctor's like, wait, why should I be looking for Amy and Rory? And so they go and they look for them, and it turns out the doctor, because they're not the doctor's obviously not done with Amy and Rory, but what they do is they find that the silence has abducted them, and then this brings in the end of the season. Like, so it's the first of a two-parter where the Captain Jack and the doctor are gonna
combine forces
to save Amy and Rory from the silence.
Wonder Twin powers. Activate.
It was
shape of a Time Lord, form of a time companion.
Yes. Well, shape
of a guy who just doesn't die.
Yeah.
Because of Thank You, Rose.
So wait, really quick, was it the silence that?
Yeah, the silence was the big bad, good. Wasn't it?
Because we talked about the silence of the library earlier, and I didn't know if I was using that and being confused.
Yeah. No, this is the silence of the lambs.
Yeah.
Because I had Rory and Amy with a nice Chianti.
Oh. They're dead.
Well, you know what? They were tasty.
Well, I guess the episode we watched tonight, the guy was eating people, so.
Yeah.
Not eating physically, but souls. Whatever. Eating their fear, faith, whatever.
Farewell.
It was so close to being a good episode.
So confusing.
It was so close to being a good episode.
It's like one of these things we're just going to keep talking about, like it chapter two.
Oh, I know. You and I talked about that way too much.
Way too much. Because it really, you know, it's like.
Because we both really enjoyed the book, and the movie was like, in the first movie, but was really good. But the second movie was.
Way long!
No, too fucking long.
It just like went back and like, hey, let's rewrite the movie.
Well, no. It was way too long, just like this episode of our podcast.
Let the children age.
So we'll be done.
All right. Hey, we'll see you next time, people. I've been Steve. No, you've been Steve. I've been John.
You make the joke too much.
I know. I was kind of like, yeah, no, this is. I was trying to like switch it up. Like,
yeah.
You know, and hey, I've been the co-host, and you've been
the other co-host.
And please come and see us again when we form Wonder Twins Power Activate, Shape of Co-host.
Shape of Form of Co-host. Host.
Yeah, you know, old white guy with beard. That'll be shape of older white guy with beard.
Middle-aged white guy. Come on.
Yeah, well.
Anyway,
people don't know how to use computers.
I've been Steve.
I'm still John.
And we're going to be done.
And we're done.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. About like see like a
what can I say except you're welcome?
Oh God! Now you're singing?
Yeah, Moana.
I know.
Okay. Oh yeah, we saw the music box. Not the music box. The Bruin View.
Yeah, with the Bruin View. That's the first time I had my delicious taste of Malort.
Oh my God!
It was your second time?
Yes.
Yeah, because it was a shot that your wife was supposed to drink, but you took the bullet for
it. I did. I dove in.
And you're like,
I dove in front of it like a Secret Service agent in front of the president.
Which made you like, you know, an addict. We're just like, no, I need more of this, like, delicious taste of death.
It's disgusting.
Yeah, well, then why do you love it so much?
I don't.
You offered to bring it today.
I know, because I want to get it out of my house.
And I'm like, no, you know, that's not coming here.